Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, a divine life. Sri Siddhanta Saraswati Ti Vidito Gauriya Guru Van Anvaye Matu Banur Iva Prabhata Gagana Yogora Sankirtana Mayavada Timilingo Daragatam Ujitya Jivanam Krishna Prema Sudadi Gandasukam Pradat Pramuntam Bhaje. In the great Gaudiya Vaishnava teacher's line, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he is renowned. Like the radiant sun in the morning sky, he appeared to rescue all souls swallowed by the all-devouring impersonal philosophy. By spreading the teachings of Lord Gauranga to sing the holy name of Lord Krishna, he gave all the chance to dive in the ocean of love for Sri Krishna, the Supreme Person. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, my Lord, Divine Master, at his feet do I pray to serve him forever. Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami. Divinity can be seen by its own light. The transcendental life of Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur can be known to us only by his own causeless mercy, for such is the nature of the Supreme Lord and his representatives who come to this world. Srila Prabhupada was an infinite ocean of divine treasure. If we are fortunate enough, perhaps we can touch the waves of that ocean as they lap the shore of our mortal plane. Within that ocean are his innumerable transcendental qualities, such as scholarship, genius, spiritual realization, humility, magnanimity, compassion, mercy, and divine love, to name only a few. The essence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life cannot be revealed in many volumes, let alone a single chapter, if they are merely a catalogue of facts and figures. It takes the dedication of a lifetime to attain a true glimpse of his message, and his life is his message. We are about to stand in front of a divine personality. We are about to catch sight of that reality which is eternal and infinite. And in our meeting with the eternal, we have to retrace the footsteps of time, because we must begin somewhere. Childhood, 1874-1892. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur made his appearance in Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, in the state of Orissa, at 3:30 in the afternoon on Friday, the 6th of February, 1874. He was born in his family home, which was next to the holy site called the Narayan Chatta of Sri Jagannath Temple, and which always reverberated with the chanting of the holy name. He was the fourth son of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Srimati Bhagavati Devi. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur firmly established the concept of pure Vaishnavism in the hearts of many educated and spiritually inquisitive people of Bengal in the later part of the 19th century. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a beautiful child with all the bodily symptoms of a great personality described in the scriptures. Everyone was amazed to see that the child was born with his umbilical cord wrapped around his neck like a Brahmin's sacred thread. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur named his son Sri Bimal Prasad, meaning the mercy of the transcendental potency of Lord Jagannath, Srimati Bimala Devi. When Sri Bhima Prasad was 6 months old, Lord Jagannath's annual chariot festival took place. That year the chariot stopped in front of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house and could not be budged an inch for 3 days. So while Lord Jagannath stayed in front of the house, kirtan was continuously performed there under the leadership of Srila Thakur Mahashaya. Mahashaya is an honorific title. On one of these days, Sri Bimala Prasad, in his mother's arms, went to see Lord Jagannath and extended his hand toward the deity as if to offer his obeisances. At that time, a garland fell from the neck of Lord Jagannath and encircled the child. The crowd was jubilant, witnessing Lord Jagannath's blessing on the child. Amid the tumultuous sound of Hari Bol, Bhaktivinoda Thakur fed Bimala Prasad some of Lord Jagannath's Mahaprasad and thus observed the child's Annaprashan, grain ceremony, first feeding of grains, under the most auspicious circumstances. Sri Bimala Prasad lived in Jagannath Puri for 10 months with his mother. Then they traveled to Bengal and resided first at Ranagat and then at Sri Rampur. Once, when Srila Bimala Prasad was a small boy, he took a mango without first offering it to the Lord. When his father chastised him for this, he became very remorseful and immediately vowed never to eat a mango again, a vow which he observed his whole life. In 1881, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a house built in Calcutta at Rambaga and named it Bhakti Bhavan. As the foundation was being dug, the deity of Kurmadev manifested himself from the ground. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave this deity to his son, Sri Bimala Prasad, when he was 8 or 9 years old, and taught him the mantra and the method of deity worship. The child duly started his deity worship with great care and devotion. When Sri Bimala Prasad was in fifth grade, he invented a new method of shorthand which he called Bikanto or Vikrinti. His teachers were always amazed by his mastery of Bengali and Sanskrit, his extraordinary intelligence and memory, and his pure moral and devotional nature. At this time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita to read. Sri Bimala Prasad also displayed extraordinary ability in mathematics and astrology. He studied astrology under the tutelage of the famous astrologer Mahesh Chandra Churamani and impressed his teacher with his mastery of the subject and his exceptional talents. He also studied astrology with Pandit Sundarlal. Seeing his scholarship in many different subjects, including the scriptures, his teachers named him Sri Siddhanta Saraswati, Master of Scriptural Conclusions. When Srila Saraswati Thakur was a student in the 7th grade at Sri Rampur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him Harinam, the holy name, on Tulsi Mala, as well as Sri Nrisimha Mantra. Some excerpts from the writing of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. My Gurudev is residing in many different personalities. If he does not reside in many different personalities, and who will protect me. Those whom my Gurudev considered close to him are my saviors. But I hope I never have to see the faces of such evil-doing rascals as those who have criticized the lotus feet of my Gurudev, or those who have somehow supported such criticism. 2. By attributing fatherhood to divinity, we can only demand some service from him and later express some gratitude. But expressing gratitude is not rendering devotional service, nor is it a symptom of love. The concept of service from the Father on one hand and of expressing gratitude on the other is founded on partial realization. It is not the same as having the pure desire for the happiness of the Lord. This is not devotional service. And the concept of demanding service and expressing gratitude, there is an inherent element of calculation, of give and take. The causeless and uninterrupted desire to serve the Lord cannot develop from this. This underdeveloped concept of theism can blossom fully when one attributes sonhood to divinity. In the concept of the Lord's fatherhood, the Son's true identity as the eternal servant of the Lord is not revealed. But in the concept of the Lord's sonhood, the Father's identity as the Lord's eternal servant is fully included. Atma vaijayate putra. It is the Atma, the parent, who gives birth to the Son. The Son cannot serve his Father from the beginning, but the Father can serve his Son from the beginning. 3. Mundane renunciation, sacrifice, and austerity are not the symptoms of saintliness. The ant may say, "The elephant eats a lot. I do not eat so much. I eat very little." Then the ant becomes a greater sadhu than the elephant. But the elephant carries Krishna to Shyamanta Panchaka in Kurukshetra, where Radharani sees Krishna again. And the ant may bite Krishna. In spite of eating a lot, the elephant is carrying Krishna, serving Krishna. And in spite of eating a little, the ant may bite Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's glorification of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Whatever I initiated 40 years ago, the same principle is going on. We have made no change. What I understood from my spiritual master, I am always doing. Practically, I met my Guru Maharaj in 1922, and this poetry was written in 1936. He's talking about his earlier Vyas Puja offering. That means 14 years before writing this poetry, I met my Guru Maharaj. At that time, I was quite a young man, only 25 years old. And I was posted in a very responsible position as the office manager of Dr. Bose's laboratory. I was very fond in those days of Gandhi's movement. In 1922, I joined Gandhi's movement and gave up my educational career because one of Gandhi's programs was to boycott the universities. That's a very long story. Many students gave up their educational careers and joined Gandhi's movement, and I was one of them. Dr. Kartik Chandra Bose was a very important man. At that time, he was managing director of Bengal Chemical Company. Now there is a street in the center of Calcutta, Dr. Kartik Bose Street. So he was a very important man, and he was our family physician and my father's intimate friend. When I gave up my education and was joining Gandhi's movement, Dr. Kartik Chandra Bose asked me to join him. So with my father's permission, I joined. At that time, I was fond of Gandhi's non-cooperation movement. And when I joined Dr. Bose's laboratory, of course, I was dressed in khadi. Dr. Bose liked that dress, khadi dress. He told me one day that, out of your whole Gandhi's movement, I like this khadi only, Dr. Bose said. And why? Because this will give impetus to industry. This hand spinning will gradually give impetus to India. Actually, that happened. He was himself an industrialist. So in 1922, I met my Guru Maharaj through the insistence of my intimate friend, Mr. Narendranath Mallick. I did not want to go, but my friend forced me. He told me, "There is a nice sadhu. Let us go and see." I did not like very much these sadhus in those days due to my national spirit. So I said, "I have seen many sadhus. They come to my father's house." I was not very much pleased with their behavior. But my friend dragged me forcibly. "No, I have heard that this person is very exalted." And so I went. My Guru Maharaj's first opening version was, "You are educated young men. Why don't you preach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gospel in the Western countries?" I did not know, but this was his blessing in the first meeting. I did not know, but because we belonged to a Vaishnava family, we were very much worshippers of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, our family deity. So I was very much pleased that here is a personality who is going to preach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gospel. I was very much pleased. Anyway, from 1922 to 1933, practically I was not initiated, but I got the impression of preaching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And that was the initiation by my Guru Maharaj. Then officially I was initiated in 1933, because in 1923 I left Calcutta. I started my business at Allahabad. So I was always thinking of my Guru Maharaj, that I met a very nice sadhu. Although I was doing business, I never forgot him. Then, in 1928, these Gaudiya Mutt people came to Allahabad during Kumbh Mela. They came to open their branch in Allahabad, and somebody recommended you go to see this Bengali gentleman. At that time, I was running my big pharmacy, and I was very well known in Allahabad as the proprietor of the pharmacy. So somebody recommended to them, "You go to Abhay Babu. He is a very religious man. He will help you." So when they entered my shop, I was very pleased. These men I met in 1922, and now they have come. In this way, I became reconnected. And in 1933, I was officially initiated. When I was introduced to my Guru Maharaj for initiation, Guru Maharaj said, "Yes, I shall initiate this boy. He is very nice. He hears me patiently. He He does not go away. So that was my qualification. The high standard of philosophy which he was speaking at that time, practically I could not follow what he was speaking. But still, I liked to hear him. That was my hobby. Whenever there was a chance, I was asking, when Guru Maharaj will speak? So he took it very seriously. And then in 1936, it's a long history, during this Vyas Puja day, whatever I studied about our relationship with my Guru Maharaj, I expressed in this poetry, and since that day my godbrothers used to call me poet. And Guru Maharaj also very much appreciated this poetry. Now somehow or other you have found it. I thought the poetry was lost, but I do not know how it was found by some of our disciples. I think it was found in a London museum or somewhere else by Guru Das. They had a stock of harmonists. And from the harmonists, my Guru Maharaj's paper, this poetry was found. Otherwise, I thought it was lost. So anyway, this poetry is, "Adore ye all the happy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May." So I heard that the month of May is very pleasing in the Western countries. So I compared the happiness of this Vyas Puja day with May Day. Actually, in India, May is very hot. It's interesting that he chose an example from the West. "When he appeared at Puri, a holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared as the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his fourth son. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a family man. He had several children, sons and daughters. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was known in his previous life as Bhimo Prasad Dutta, son of Kedarnath Dutta. His father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was named Kedarnath Dutta. He was a magistrate and he was manager of the managing board of Jagannath Puri. The system is that the local magistrate becomes the official manager of the managing board of the Jagannath temple. At that time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was situated in Jagannath Puri, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared at Puri. So when the Rath Yatra ceremony takes place, sometimes the big Rath stops at intervals in front of house in which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared. The Rath stopped. At that time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mother took advantage because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was magistrate. So the son, the little baby, was brought before the Rath. And the pujaris allowed him to bring the child before the deity, and a garland was offered by Jagannath. That was the first sign of his becoming the Acharya. In this way, there are many incidences. Therefore, his birthplace is mentioned, the holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace. O my Master, the evangelic angel, give us thy light up thy candle. Struggle for existence, a human race, the only hope, his divine grace. Actually, we are in a very precarious condition in the modern civilization. We are being manipulated by the Western people. It is a soul-killing civilization. By nature, the chance is given after many, many evolutionary processes. Jalajal Navalakshani Davalara Lakshavimsati. The evolutionary process is described in the Padma Purana. It is not Darwin's theory. Darwin stole it from Padma Purana, and he presented it in a distorted way with his own imagination. Actually, it is not theory, but fact. Jiva Jatisu. The soul is wandering within the cycle of Jiva Jati, different species of life. Tadehantara Prapti. This is Vedic knowledge, this evolutionary process. It is not Darwin's theory. So by that process, lower animals, and then the chronicle, so by that process, lower animals, and then the chronological order is there. First of all, aquatics. Jalaja. Jalaja means aquatic. Then stavara. Trees, plants, then flies, then birds, then beasts, then human beings. In this way, Bahu Sambhavante. After many, many millions of years, we get this opportunity of human life to realize God. And this civilization is denying, refusing the opportunity to the human society to understand God. Such a soul-killing civilization. It is a fact. They are denying. What is God? There is no God. Everything is science. Although they cannot explain science. They cannot do anything, simply talking like nonsense. Last night some girls, students of botany, came. So I asked them, can you manufacture a seed which can give birth to a big banyan tree? No, sir, it is not possible. Then what kind of botany are you studying? Actually, what is their science? They simply talk something which is going on in the middle portion. Where is the beginning and where is the end of knowledge? That they do not know. They are theorizing only in the middle. They do not know janmadiyasi yataha. Where is the beginning of this science? That in the beginning is Krishna. Krishna says, aham sarvasya prabhavo. He is the beginning. Bijoham sarvabhutanam. The seed, you scientist, you cannot manufacture. What chemicals are there that if you put them in the earth and pour some water, they will grow in a big tree? These scientists cannot explain what chemical composition is there. But there is. So this is in the hand of Krishna. So this knowledge means to understand the original source. That is philosophy, to find out the original source. That is knowledge. Vaidaishta Saravaya Aham Eva Vedyo. Actually, the knowledge terminates when you understand Krishna. He is the source of everything. There is, quote, struggle for existence, a human race. The only hope is divine grace. Now we get this information from His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and that knowledge is still going on. You are receiving through His servant. And in the future, the same knowledge will go to your students. This is called parampara system, evam parampara praptam. It is not that you have become a student and you'll remain a student. No. One day you shall become also guru and make more students, and more. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, not that perpetually one will remain a student. Yes, one should remain perpetually a student, but he has to act as guru. That is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is not that because I am acting as guru, I am no longer student. No, I am still student. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that we shall always remain a foolish student before our Guru Maharaj. That is the Vedic culture. I may be a big man, but still, I remain a foolish student before my Guru Maharaj. That is the qualification. Guru More Murka Deki Karila Shashana. We should always be prepared to be controlled by the Guru. That is very good qualification. Yasya Prasadad Bhagavat Prasada Par Karina Mane Asha. So we should become a very obedient student to our Guru. That is the qualification. That is the spiritual qualification. Since 1922, my Guru Maharaj wanted me to preach in the Western countries. Then in 1965, it was fruitful, 43 years later. It is better late than never. Yes, he desired me. I thought, now I am a family man. Let me adjust things. I would have accepted immediately, but I was not so intelligent at that time. I thought, my responsibility to family is there. Let me wait. But still, Guru Maharaj was so kind to me that when I was Grihastha, I saw him in dreams. He asked me, you come with me. Then I was going, and after that I was thinking, oh, I will have to take sannyas and go with him. So it appeared to me very horrible. I was not very much inclined to take sannyas. But Guru Maharaj is so kind that he ultimately forced me to take sannyas and do this work. It is all his kindness. This is the memory of his kindness. 43 years ago, I remember the same thing as it is in 1922, and still the same thing is going on. There is nothing new. We have nothing new to do. Simply let us present as it is, and it will be successful. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai, Thakur Pranandi.